And our mission theme this year is lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. And so I'm going to be preaching a few sermons along that theme of lift up your eyes and what this means, lift up your eyes. Today it's going to be lift up your eyes to see provision. But this, I want to introduce this theme for you for a few moments before really getting into the text and the sermon this morning. Lift up your eyes. What does this mean? So a lot of people, as we begin the year 2020, are going to focus on this idea of vision, right? 2020 vision. I honestly have no idea what that means. Right? They say, oh, I have 2030, I have 2040, I have 2018. Some of you probably know exactly what that means. Probably some of you know what your vision is, but you hear that phrase all the time, 2020 vision. And that's a cool expression, and I wasn't even thinking about that at all when I thought of this theme, lift up your eyes, for our mission conference. I was just like, oh, there's some passages here that I want to pull out, and like this lift up your eyes phrase. And then I was like, oh no, it sounds like I picked that because of the year 2020. Well, I didn't. I'm not that clever. Because it really isn't so much, this isn't a focus primarily on vision. There's two things that came to my mind. There's the idea of vision, but then there's also the idea of perspective. And there's a difference between vision and perspective. When we talk about vision, we're talking about ambition. We're talking about where you want to be going. But when you talk about perspective, you're talking about assessment and where you are. And so when I think of lifting up your eyes, I'm not just focusing on where we're going, but I'm also hoping that we get a good perspective of where we are. And you mix those two together, both vision and perspective, ambition and assessment, and you have a much better foundation for that progress, for that movement that you want. So when we talk about lifting up our eyes, we're doing both. We're seeking to understand rightly where I am. What are the circumstances that God has placed me in? What is this situation? I want to evaluate it rightly. And then I want that vision for where God wants us to go. What does God want to accomplish in our lives? So that's the idea behind this theme of lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And today it's lift up your eyes to see provision. And this comes from one of the most famous stories in all of the Bible, but also one that is really, really uncomfortable. Every time I read this story, I'm extremely uncomfortable with it because, well, if you're familiar with it, it's pretty weird. It comes from Genesis chapter 22. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up and turn to Genesis 22. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible right in front of you, in the pew in front of you, and you can take that Bible home. And again, we encourage you to start a Bible reading plan. In your bulletin this morning, there's a nice little Bible reading plan, and you can read through the entire Bible in the year. And it's so cool to read through the whole Bible. Hey, real quick question. How many of you could say, I've read through the entire Bible? Wow, that's really cool. Now, and hopefully you probably, likely followed a Bible reading plan. If you haven't started a New Year's goal, I recommend that. It's a great goal, a great ambition. But soon, if you've just started, you'll probably get to Genesis chapter 22, and you'll read this story, and you'll say, what in the world is going on here? This is a weird story. If you are there, it's Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. Here we go. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What? It just starts out, go and offer your son as a burnt offering. That's crazy, God. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together, and when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, as we look to your scriptures and we see this story of Abraham and Isaac and of your provision, Lord, our hearts are wrestling. They're trying to understand best how you provide. So Jesus, I pray in that wrestling, in that confusion, in that trying to understand that we see you, the ultimate provision of God. And through my words today, I pray you would speak to your people and bring them vision for how you have provided and will provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up your eyes. So in this story, we see this just kind of this craziness. Now, if you, again, as Christians, we have a better understanding than the first readers of this story, because we see Jesus. We can see all of the foreshadowing of Jesus in here pretty clearly. But the original readers, of course, were confused about this, and rightly so. How could God call for a child sacrifice? This just does not make any sense. This is not the God of the scriptures. There's nowhere else in the scriptures where there's any kind of idea, any inkling of such a concept, except when it points us to Jesus, of course. But we're going to look at this story, and we're going to try and see it in our own lives, the need to see the provision of God and lifting up our eyes. And we start by this idea. He says, lift up your eyes to see the place. The first time in this story that phrase, lift up your eyes, is that God has called Abraham, and he said, I'm going to go to a place that I will show you. And it says that there's the Mount Moriah, and it says Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place. He saw the place from afar. Saw the place. God called him, Abraham, go and take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him at the place that I will show you. So think about that, right? The initial thing, like he starts out, how much can I get away with here, right? I can just by showing God that I'm willing to go to start on the journey, go for a couple of days. But the closer and closer he got to the place, the more and more real it became. And when he saw the place, right? So when he's far off, it's like, okay, you know, there's that distance. It's that distance allows for a disassociation from the reality. But when you see the place, that's when it gets real. It's like when you're driving 5 North on your way to Disneyland, right? What is it that really gets the goosebumps going? You all know it. It's the Matterhorn, right? It's not even the sign that says Disney Way exit here or whatever that is. No, it's when you see that mountaintop. You see it and you go, oh, it's real now. I'm about to stand in line for 4 hours to get a picture with Tinkerbell. The place. There it is. This is real. And so here's Abraham with Isaac and two servants on a donkey on the 5 freeway looking at the Matterhorn. And he knows what that place means. That place represents what God is calling you to give up to follow him. That place represents the cost. It represents the price. It represents everything that it's going to take to follow God. You remember the story in Mark chapter 10? I'll abbreviate it here, read you verse 17 and then verses 20 through 22. Because as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him being Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's saying, "Good teacher, what is the place? What is the price that I have to pay to get eternal life?" And so Jesus says, right? He says, "Oh, here, do all of these commandments. Do all these commandments." And the young man's response is, he said to him, "Teacher, all of these I've kept from my youth." And so Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Disheartened by this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, this young man, when he saw the place, when he finally saw how much it would cost to follow Jesus, all of his bluster and his excitement and his enthusiasm and his energy, "Oh, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Tell me what it is. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And when Jesus says, "It's going to cost everything," he says, "I can't pay that price. I'm not willing to go to that place." And so here's Abraham. Here's Abraham, and you remember. Now, why is God testing Abraham? Because remember how God had first promised to him, "Oh, I'm gonna make you the father of many nations. Look up at the stars, so shall your offspring be." And for years, Abraham heard that promise, and there was no hint that it could ever be fulfilled. And so he stopped trusting God, and he started to trust himself, and he started to do things his own way. And so you have the story of his maidservant, Hagar, and him impregnating her and trying to fulfill God's promise the human way, by his own means. And so he has this son Ishmael, this illegitimate son. This is not the son of the promise. This is not the supernatural working of God. This is not how God provides. But Abraham was willing to try and do it his own way. And now God's saying, "Look, I know that you're willing to try and do it your own way, and that won't work now. That doesn't work. So let's see how willing you are now that I've given you this son, this promised son, Isaac. How willing are you to pay the price?" So God is essentially, he's asking, what are you willing to give up? And we can ask you, what is God calling you to give up? That's what the place represents. What is God calling you to give up? As we begin a new year, we got all these New Year's resolutions. These resolutions, really, really what they show is how weak our resolve is. Right? How we resolve, "Oh, I'm giving up sugar. Oh, I'm giving up caffeine. I'm giving up alcohol. I'm giving up gossip. I'm giving up anger. I'm giving up selfishness." Really? Good for you. You see, they show how weak we really are. They show how unwilling we really are to pay the price, to go to the place. Jesus said this in Luke 9. He went along and he started calling people and said, "Hey, are you willing to go to that place?" He says in Luke 9:57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Essentially saying, yeah, give up your home. Give up your home. Are you willing to give up your home? To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." He's saying, give up your inheritance. Give up your inheritance. That's what this man was really saying when he said, I have to first bury my father. Like, once I have my inheritance, then I'll have the means to go and follow you. Jesus said, nah, that's not how it works. That's not how the kingdom of God works. And yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus sets this really, really high bar, really high standard. He would go to the disciples as they were fishing and say, "Follow me." They're at their place of work. They're at their place of employment. They are doing their job. And they, because of the power of the Spirit of God and because of the persuasiveness of Jesus himself, were willing to lay down their fishing nets, leave everything behind, and follow him. What is God calling you to give up? What is the place that you need to lift your eyes up to see? Oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. This is hard. This is a hard word, Pastor. Can't we ease into 2020 a little? Can't we just like tiptoe into this water? No, we're diving full bore in. God calls Abraham and says, give up everything. Give up your son. Give up the promise. Again, when God gave Abraham Isaac, and Abraham saw Isaac as the fulfillment of the promise of God. God is saying, give up the promise that I gave you. What kind of sense does this make, God? How can you tell me, how can you give me this gift and then tell me that I need to give up the gift that you gave me? You see, the hardest gift or the hardest thing to let go of are the best gifts that God gives us. But if we get God in return, it's worth it. The giver is greater than the gift. The giver is always greater than the gift. And in this story, in this case, in this situation, in every situation, God is greater than any gift he can give you. So what is the place? What is the gift that you have that you need to let go of to get God? You see, the gospel, the good news that we preach, that's our mission at Living Way Church. Give good news, be great neighbors. Every Sunday, I want you to hear good news. And I'll tell you this about the good news, about the gospel. It's absolutely 100% free, but it will cost you everything. The gospel is free, but believing it costs you everything. Now, if you say that doesn't make any sense, welcome to the supernatural. Welcome to the kingdom of God. God is calling you. He's showing you. Lift up your eyes to see the place, see the cost, see the price, see what you must give up to follow him. It may be a high price. In fact, it is. It is a large, high, expensive, costly price that God is saying, give this up to follow me. But here's where it gets really good. Here's where the blessing comes. Yeah, I told you, it's good news. I'm not going to preach just bad news to you. I mean, it's not just give up. Because the second thing is, we don't lift up our eyes to see the place. We also lift up our eyes to see the provision. That's the theme this morning. That's our sermon title. Lift up your eyes to see the provision. the provision, the further and further up the mountain that Abraham went with Isaac, the more and more real it became. And he got to the top and he took the wood and he began to construct the altar. And he built it all. And he kept going. He had to go a step further. And he had to tie his son up and place him upon the altar. And he had to keep going a step further. And he had to lift up the knife. There was, at no point up until then, was there any pause, any hesitation. He kept going because he was willing to give up the gift in order to receive the giver. Now, the book of Romans says that Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He was going to go all the way, if necessary, because he believed, he reckoned that God would raise the dead. And in that sense, he actually got Isaac back from the dead because he was as good as dead. And yet God stops him, says, hold on. Now I know how willing you are. And all of this is happening to foreshadow, to show us Jesus Christ. And here's Jesus, or here's the representation, this ram caught in the thicket, Genesis 22. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided." The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. This morning, I want you to consider the place. Lift up your eyes and see what it costs to follow Jesus. But more than that, far more than that, I want you to lift up your eyes to see Jesus, to see the provision of God. This is a truth that I want you to believe with all your heart. God has promised infinitely greater rewards than everything he has commanded you to give up. There is nothing that you can give up that God does not promise to repay you 100-fold. There's nothing. God, I can't do that. I'm going to pick on Mark and Crystal because they're here this morning and they're going to the Dominican Republic on Thursday, and so I won't see them for a very long time. So I pick on them. But right? We're going to go be missionaries. These are young college graduates. Young college graduates, those are the ones that are typically like, hey, I want to get right into the career field. I got to start making money. I got to get a home and start raising a family and doing all of these, living the American dream. But they heard God say, no, you're going to give that up. You're not going the way that the culture tells you to go. You're going to go to the place where you lay all that aside. You give all that up. And you follow me. That's an amazing faith. That's an amazing willingness. That's lifting up your eyes to see the place, but lifting up your eyes above the place to see the provision. Because God has promised infinitely more than everything you've given up. Everything you've given up. He's given you so much more. Matthew 19. There's not even 29 chapters in Matthew. There's only 28. Matthew 19. Peter said in reply, "See, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when you see the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." 100-fold. Talk about a return on investment. Talk about getting in on that IPO, right? Yeah, you want to get in and make 100 times investment? Give up everything and follow Jesus. give up everything to follow him. I've got all these young men here. How come there's no girls? What are you guys, no deodorant or what's going on? All these young men here, and I see so much potential. Yes. If the willingness to give up on the ways of the world, if you're willing to give up, if you're willing to see that place that God is calling you and say, I'm not going to follow the ways of this world. I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to follow him. 100-fold promises are made to you. The greatest life you could ever imagine is promised to you if you are willing to follow Jesus. And this isn't just a promise for young men who have their whole lives in front of them. It's a promise for all of you. Maybe you think there's nothing left for me. Maybe I have nothing left to offer. What is God calling you to give up to follow him? Because he's promised you 100-fold. It's never too late to follow Jesus. It's never too late to obey. It's never too late to pursue his glory. It's never too late. It's never too late. Maybe you say, man, the cost is just too much. I can't do it. I can't make that sacrifice. Look beyond that place. Look at the provision. Yes. Look at the provision. Maybe you think that place is too high, too costly. But if you do, it's only because you're not seeing clearly how great Jesus is. Because this is the other truth, that even though it's going to cost you everything, consider this. Everything that God has commanded, God has provided for through his one and only Son. Yes. Everything that God commands, he provides for. Everything. What this means, and this is the reality, the depths of the good news. The depths of the good news is not how strong you have to be to fulfill it. It's not how capable you have to be. It's not even how willing you have to be. The depths of the good news, what makes it so good, is that it's 100% provided for by God himself. That's what that's what Abraham told Isaac. This is what Abraham believed with all of his heart. It's why he was willing. Why he was willing to keep paying the price is because he believed the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. God will provide. God has called me, son. God has called me to pay the highest price I can imagine. But I believe he will provide. He's commanded me to do the unthinkable, to do the impossible. And I can't imagine, I can't do it. Except I believe he will provide. He will provide. And God did provide. And he provided for Abraham with the ram. But he provides for you. He provides for me with the greatest gift in the history of the world, with the one and only Son, with Jesus Christ himself. God provided everything. Yes. Everything that you could ever need is provided for you through Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is the promise. He is the hope. He is the salvation. He is the forgiveness of sins. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of heaven. He is the gate to the sheepfold. Yes. He is the good shepherd. He is the light of the world. He is your provision. He is your treasure. He is your rich reward. He is your eternal inheritance. He is the delight of your soul. And the last time that you close your eyes on earth, you will open them in heaven to see Jesus Christ, the delight of all eternity. And your soul will be flooded with an overwhelming beauty in who he is. He is everything, church. He is everything. He is the provision that is far greater than every price you're asked to pay. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 think I only have it up through 34 here. I'm going to read a little bit longer, though. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The greatest promise, church, the greatest provision is Jesus Christ.